Hi, friends. You will hear me say on this podcast time and time again, maybe even to the point of getting annoyed with me, and I apologize in advance for that. But people in your network and those that you surround yourself with will have a direct impact on your life and success. I have so many examples that I could share, and Coach Susan is one of those that I would highlight. Susan and I crossed paths at a really interesting transition point in my life, and then we were actually out of touch for a few years before reconnecting as I entered into this most recent transition season. And she has been such a tremendous encouragement and guide for me. For 25 years, Susan thrived as a top HR executive, leading learning and development programs, coaching, performance, and engagement strategies. She's led initiatives for prestigious Fortune 500 companies, financial institutions, and a major university while personally coaching clients across the State Department, intelligence community, and the White House. So just a little impressive. But while navigating the corporate world, Susan felt a deep, consistent pull towards her spiritual gifts. After several profound personal experiences, Susan finally released the fear of judgment to embrace her abilities as a psychic medium and healer. Today, Susan uniquely combines her extensive executive experience with her psychic mediumship. Through Love, Light, and Service, she offers one-on-one readings, biofield healing, and career coaching. Now, this conversation was so fascinating that it actually ran pretty long, but I just could not find anything that I actually wanted to edit out. There's just too much good stuff throughout that I didn't want you to miss, so I've decided to break it up into two parts. You will have to come back next week to catch part two, but I promise it will be worth it. So grab your cup of coffee or drink of choice and settle in to enjoy our conversation with Coach Susan. Hi, friend, and welcome to Courage in the Calling. I'm your host, Taylor Morgan, a 30-something mom quickly approaching 40 with two decades of experience in the financial industry who found herself at a crossroads and made the decision to step away from my comfortable corporate life in search of something more aligned and fulfilling. I'm here to share conversations with brave souls who, like me, took the leap into the unknown. We'll dive deep into their journeys, discussing the whys and hows of following their callings. Whether you are contemplating a major life change or have already drawn your line in the sand, this is a space for you. From unexpected twists to valuable lessons and practical advice, we'll explore the realities of transitioning careers and lives. If you've ever felt that inner calling but hesitated to answer, or if you're currently navigating a big, scary decision, consider this podcast your sanctuary, a place to find inspiration, guidance, and a community of kindred spirits who've walked that path. Courage in the Calling is not just a title. It's a mantra for anyone daring to redefine their path and embrace the unknown. So lean in and hit that subscribe button, because here you've found your people. If you're ready to embrace the courage it takes to follow your calling, you're in the right place. Welcome to Courage in the Calling. I'm so glad you're here. Well, Susan, thank you so much for being here today. I, first of all, just want to say, and I will have shared this a little bit in the intro, but our relationship and your support and encouragement in the time that we have reconnected has just been so incredible. I'm so thankful to have you in my sphere and so appreciative of the support that you've shown and the guidance that you offered. And so I'm super, super excited for our audience to hear from you today, the insights that you share, and just your experiences and the way that you frame situations and outlooks, I think is just really unique. And has been such a benefit to me in my life in the last 6 months. And so I've been super excited to finally get you on. So thanks for being here.
I appreciate that. I really do. But it's really interesting. I think people come into your life for a reason when they're supposed to. And, you know, you saying those things, I could say the same thing. I mean, you circling back the way that you did and reconnecting, it's just I mean, I knew the moment I met you that you needed to be in a certain space, and that was the right time. It was the right time and the right thing. And so just reconnecting with you, I learned from you, you know? So it's really, I think it's been a really true gift in life to have that. And I really think it's a soul connection. We were meant to be connected at this time. So, and it's all good.
I agree.
But you know, it's funny. I had to, so whenever I start my day, I start by shuffling cards and I pick a card that is supposed to speak with me today. So I use these dream cards, they're called, and I love them. They're just beautiful. So before we started today, I said, give me something for the two of us in this session. And I got the most interesting card that was pulled. And it says, I'll read it to you. When faced with new situations with people, don't compare yourself, your life, or your place to theirs. Instead, say, interesting. Okay, this allows your mind to be open instead of closed off in self-pity. All possibilities are open to you as they are to others. And the fact that this card says interesting, it always reminds me of a book that, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, named Gary Douglas. He wrote so many. One was called Money's Not the Problem, You Are. And the other one is called The Gift of Allowance. And he always said that instead of closing yourself off to things that the universe brings you, oh, I don't agree with that, or stop, you should say, it's really interesting. A very different perspective.
I love that. So. Yeah, I love that reshape and that reframing. I love that. It is so cool. I was listening to something the other day that reminds me of, which is really around just assuming that we can put things into motion. And it really was around just opening up the mindset versus closing the mindset and really speaking what it is that you want. And then believing that the universe is working, and you can believe whatever, you know, sure, whatever you may subscribe to, whether it's a relationship with the universe or with,
absolutely,
God. For me, it's God. 100%. For you, it's God. But believing that those things are working in your favor, and that's, you can find that, mm-hmm, in scripture, right? And but you can also choose to just believe in whatever this universal, mm-hmm, entity is, mm-hmm, is working for your good, and just assuming that things is going to work out. It may not look exactly, mm-hmm, like you had envisioned. But I thought that was really
interesting.
So in identifying when those things do tend to work out in your favor, when you find synchronicities, you and I have talked about identifying patterns, whether it be a word or a number or, you know, something like that. So taking, just acknowledging, mm-hmm, that and saying interesting and opening up the mind to say, okay, what could this mean for me? What could this be trying to teach me, absolutely, or tell me?
And
I love
you
that.
Hit a key.
That's beautiful.
You have to believe, yeah, it. You can't just say, I believe, mm-hmm, you really truly have to believe it. And yeah.
Yeah, you have to put an energy behind,
absolutely,
it. Yeah. Yeah, that's so interesting. Thank you for sharing,
absolutely,
that with me. That's beautiful. Here on the podcast, we talk about courageous stories of life and career transition. So, Susan, can you share with us a season of transition for you? I'd love to ask, you know, what did it look like? What did it feel like? What were you experiencing? Help our audience kind of transport back to that time and get an idea of what was going on with you.
So, you know, when you mentioned, I had to think about this really in terms of a particular transition or a season. And I think there are so many in my life that have accumulated over time that you don't really notice at the time. But when you look back, you're like, ah, that's the reason that took place. But I think they develop over time for one big adjustment, usually. And I personally call them the dark night of the soul. And I think everybody usually goes through them. If they haven't, they probably will. You hate to say it, but they're going to experience it sometime. And I think I had two that were very profound for me. And that was in 2014 and then in 2019. And it all stemmed from me not really following what my true soul path was and pulling forth my gifts in a way that needed to be executed, I guess is the best way to say it. So always climbing the corporate ladder. And I think to give my intention with this podcast is to really give people some depth of why this transition occurred in my life, because evidently somebody will be out there that has the same experience and they're not really sure what to do. So if that intention is to help them, I will. I'm being brutally honest here. But
absolutely,
I was a psychic medium ever since I've been a child. And I think to give some color around how that evolved in my life is really pinnacle to talking about 2014 and 2019. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, people won't really understand it.
Sure.
So I always was very sensitive to energy, very saw things, heard things, even as a child. And to me, that was very normal. I mean, when you're a kid and that's normal, you don't realize until later that, you know, people can't really see or hear what you're picking up.
Yeah.
So it kind of evolved over time. And as I got into my teenage years, it really went into high gear. And I think when you speak with most psychic mediums, it's really true. It does. It goes into high gear as a teenager because of the hormone levels. There's actually,
I was going to question, is there something that's tied to that? Okay.
It's really interesting. I never really knew that. But when I look back, it's my mentor who has explained all this to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, that explains so much that I experienced as a teenager. And briefly, prior to teenage, I really need to talk about this because it's literally on my website as well. But a big transition for me was about the age of 9. I actually drowned. And I was removed from my body and had a near-death experience. And that was something that I remember reading that situation and just being extremely shocked. Like, I couldn't even process it. I didn't even have the maturity to process something like that at that point. A lot of it, I didn't even talk about it until my adulthood. Wow. But I think after that, the abilities went into higher gear. And then add on the hormones of being a teenager, that was really something else. So at that time, I grew up in a neighborhood. I grew up in a very loving family. I'm one of six kids. I'm in the middle, number four. And I have a great family. I am very fortunate to have been blessed. And I believe we choose who we come into this world with. And I have an amazing family and amazing parents. But I grew up in a neighborhood that was really tough. I mean, I grew up, many people would call it probably the hood today, but I really grew up in a very challenging neighborhood. So there are three ways to get out. You either die, you go to prison, or you succeed. And as a kid, I mean, my parents, with the help of grandparents and so forth, they made sure that I had a decent education. I remember getting up at 5:30 in the morning to take 3, sometimes 4 buses to another city just to go to a private girls' school that they put me in. But it was tough. I couldn't join a big groups or sports or anything because I had to be home at a certain hour because of the neighborhood. Well, the reason that all fits into this message is because I developed the sense of nobody's going to tell me what to do. I am going to succeed. I will not become a statistic. And so as I got older, my whole goal was I'm going to show them. And I chased this corporate dream that was, okay, I had these abilities, but I kind of stuffed it away. And I was started chasing, okay, I'm going to go after that title because I'm going to show them that I can do this. And then after that, it was the next and the next. So I kind of climbed the corporate ladder doing that. Now, the saving grace, I think, in all of that was I was definitely in a space that I liked. So I was always HR related. It was coaching. Those types of things was really, truly one of my true gifts. I just wasn't applying it the right way until much later. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
So I just found, as I went through all of these opportunities, climbing my way to the executive suite, I was really unhappy. And it wasn't necessarily everything that I was doing from a job perspective that made me unhappy, but it was the environment. I found I wasn't happy in the environment of, I call it corporatocracy or self-destruction in a lot of ways. I remember being young and even in school, I was feeling like, when I went to school, even at a very young age, I felt I was going to a prison. And even in corporate, I felt like, gosh, I'm part of a system. I'm part of this matrix system that they tell you what to believe, how to believe, what you need to participate in, what you need to subscribe to, or you're not going to really succeed. And so I really had a hard time with that. And every single time I got out of position, I would take a break and I would say, no, I'm going to start working on the abilities more and so forth. And
by abilities, you mean your psychic medium.
Using it for, for things that I knew in the back of my head, this was going to be a come to Jesus moment. I just knew it And so I was always enticed by a phone call. Hey, Susan, we have this position for you. Or, hey, would you be interested in a conversation with this person?
Yeah. It's hard to turn those down. There is some sense, I don't know about for you, but for me, there is always some sense of like, wow, they want to talk to me. You know, so there's, it's like, you're 100% correct. Yeah. Like, wow, I must be doing something right.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So, ego, you're right. It's a very big part of that. And, you know, I ended up in some really great roles. I was very fortunate. I became well connected in Charlotte, which is where I worked, and I grew into the executive suite. But I remember in 2014, I ended up leaving a very good corporate role. And I remember just, it seemed over time I was in a great position, but over time everything was being restructured and budget cuts were happening, and they didn't really know what to do with me at that point. So I ended up going into all these different roles that were absolutely not me. And I couldn't stand it. Going to work every day, you just get that pit in the stomach. So I ended up leaving there. And when I left there, I really had a dark night of the soul moment. That was my first dark night of the soul moment where, like, what is the purpose of my life? I don't understand it. What am I supposed to be doing? Felt like a failure. Where do I go from here? I don't know if I can go back into that. So I really started at that point to self-develop and really focus on doing the things that I needed to do, like heavy meditation and going into other things that would be too much for this audience to handle. But there's a lot of things I did that a lot of mediums go through. It's no different than in corporate when you develop people. If you're a psychic medium, it doesn't matter if you were born that way. You still have to become developed. There's a way to handle things. Then a few years pass and I get another, hey, Susan. So I end up going in these roles and I ended up in an executive role. And I remember being my final executive role that I was in corporate was, I really felt like, this is not me. The energies started to increase. Every time I was off my soul path, spirit increased. I was being woken up at night. I would hear more. I would see more. I would walk into corporate and I would get what they call bilocation, meaning it's kind of like remote viewing for those in the audience who might be familiar with that, where I'm actually transported and can hear what's going on behind doors. Closed doors and so forth.
Yeah.
I started to notice more that everything has an energy. I would know strategies if they would be, you know, successful or if they would not. There was a certain energetic pulse behind them that they had. I knew when people were in the wrong careers and they needed to be moved into something that would be more loving to them as a human being. And in that role, I found that people were doing things for political purposes. It wasn't, they weren't really following through with what they were speaking to the larger, greater audience. It really troubled me a lot. And as you know, and you know this too, that when you're in those types of roles, you can go against the grain, but one executive can't change it. I'm sorry, they can't. People who haven't been in those roles don't understand that. Leadership is hard, and you are dealing with a bigger political situation than you can imagine. And I started to see things and hear things that people were doing there that I just did not agree with. And I really had this come to Jesus moment that was, you can either shut up and put up and deal with this, even though you know you're not comfortable, you know you're getting pulled back by spirit every single time. Or you can go in and choose not to participate. And I did. I chose not to participate in this perpetual toxicity that they loved. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't, from a human consciousness perspective, put that forward. Because what people don't realize is you're involved in any of that consciousness, it will impact your life, not personally as well. Let me rephrase that. Not only personally.
Not only personally.
But you're putting yourself on a frequency level that you will start attracting the same, life attracts life. That's how energy works. And so I chose to leave. And that was another dark night of the soul moment. But it was really one of those moments that I needed, because it really slapped me and saying, all right, have you had enough? And I did. I had enough. And so I remember reaching out to my mentor at that time. And she was she's a very gifted psychic medium. And she was, she's one of the few psychic mediums out there that is actually certified through Winbridge organization, which people don't understand what that is. They test in mediums to a high degree and whether or not you're credible. And she is one of the few. I remember calling my Morgan, and I, before I even could tell her why I was calling, she said, what took you so long? And I was blown away. And at that point, I really started that journey of developing my abilities to help people for the reasons that I needed to. That was my sole plan. And ever since then, I have put in both worlds, but the world is mine. So, you know, I do coaching and still work with many corporate clients on one end. But on the other end, I have lovelightandservice.com, which I started. And that was given to me by spirit as well, and how to start it. And it's really focusing on reading people, giving people readings to help them find their soul purpose. It's not always career related. You know, many people in the audience, I think, when they say, what's your soul purpose? What are you here for? And they immediately go to career, and it's not necessarily a career, but your soul purpose is to find joy. So it's really helping people find joy and to live in a spirit that aligns with themselves and in a frequency that really is comfortable for you. Nobody should be out of frequency. And so, and that's what I do. So that's a part of the reading process. And of course, healing comes with that on many levels, helping people connect with loved ones and so forth. And they tend to walk away feeling more healed than years of therapy did. Don't ask me why, but that's usually how it works.
So Susan, for your corporate clients, are you having this conversation as they're reaching out to you for executive coaching services? How do you navigate that conversation if, one, they don't know that you do this, right? So you're engaging with them and you're getting a different level of energy than they even understand or know or have knowledge of that exists. And they're saying, I really want this opportunity. Can you help me work toward this opportunity? And you know that it's not right for them. Mm-hmm. How do you navigate that?
That's really interesting, because that has always been one of my struggles, because over the years, I've always had my own coaching business on the side, and I developed a reputation of really helping people. Many of them had no idea. They have no idea what I did. And I would use those abilities all the time. I just knew that, okay, you weren't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Some I would never tell unless they were open to it, because everybody has a belief system, and I think that they have to be respected in that response, uh-huh. you know? Uh-huh. And uh-huh. not everybody agrees uh-huh. with what I do, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I never used to be, because that, which is why I never came out of the closet, if you really want to call it that. I was afraid of judgment. But now I'm not. But if I feel, I think questioning, like any coaching, it comes with questioning the client, getting deeper. I never tell clients, no, don't do that. You need to go here.
Yeah.
That's not my place to do that. True. Instead, as a coach, you should be asking the questions that pertain, what makes you feel like this is the right move? What makes you feel that this is not the right move? And I can give you an example. Sometimes I'll get clients who have always worked in really high, powerful roles within Fortune 500s. And mm-hmm. there's a reputation that comes with that. So, you know, they're mm-hmm. on LinkedIn, and they love to brag about what they do. And when they would come to me, sometimes they know it's not working. They have no work-life balance. But when you get and you start pulling out and asking the right questions, it really comes down to judgment. They are so afraid of, Susan, I can't imagine being at a networking event and telling somebody that I work for this company that nobody knows. And so it's a matter of, well, wait a minute. So you're worried about what other people think, not the fact that you'd probably be making more money, you would probably have better work-life balance, and you would go to work happy. I mean, what's wrong with that? Is there something wrong with that? And it really comes down to image. And that really, and I'm sure you can relate, or anybody even who has kids, you can relate. Mm-hmm. That's a huge issue right now. Mm-hmm. Are people truly following their sole purpose of what they're supposed to be doing, or are you doing it for image purposes because you're uh-huh. so afraid of what other people think? And it comes by looking at how we were raised. We were all raised, and I'm not saying it wasn't a good intention, you know, your parents only know what they know. They do the right. best they can. So mm-hmm. when you look at that mm-hmm. as an adult, you have the responsibility to not blame other people, but to look internally and say, am I holding on to old belief systems that really are not working for me anymore? And that's what I did. They weren't working for me anymore. And do you have the bravery to say, I can't do it anymore? I need to step out of this. I need to move out of my comfort zone and into something that is going to make me happy, and taking mm-hmm. the steps to do that. So to answer your question, I think it really depends on the client, whether or not I tell them that I use that ability or not. But it's about guiding them and asking those right questions that come up to say, are you sure? And tell me the reasons why. I'm really curious. I find uh-huh. it interesting, right? And
yeah.
then you can kind of, they end up answering the question themselves. They always do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great coaching.
That's when what coaching is produce... really about.
Yeah. Yes.
You know
yeah.
that. It is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So Susan, I think you said something I think that's going to resonate so much. It resonated with me, and I believe it's going to resonate with the listeners too. You talked about that fear of judgment, mm-hmm. and you know, I've had a number of conversations now at this point for the podcast. And the recurring conversation that continues to come up is really around, I think we all have this sense that we were meant for either more or something different. Mm-hmm. And there's this feeling of waiting for permission. And I think, again, I think that stems from that fear of judgment that you're talking about. And I heard you say, I had to deal with that myself, yes. Right? I had to overcome that fear of judgment. So can you share with us a little bit about the work that you did to move through that, to get to the other side, to say, mm-hmm. okay, I know what I'm supposed to bring into this world. Mm-hmm. Here's how I'm going to do it. And I've got to let these pieces go. So how mm-hmm. Can you walk us through some of that work that you did?
Yeah. So I've always been an avid reader. So I would read lots of things about finding that purpose, but I really started to attack things that weren't just motivational speakers. I really right. started to look at books that were more centered on spirituality. And again, it doesn't matter if you believe in, you know, God, if you believe in Jesus, if you believe in Allah, it doesn't matter. It's who call it source for all we care, you know? We all know that there's a mm-hmm. higher being of some sort. And so it was really, and for me in particular, being a psychic medium, it was about going into very deep meditation. And meditation, people sometimes, I think, to be honest with you, Morgan, they get a little freaked out. They don't know, what does that mean? What does meditation mean?
Yeah.
And it really means quieting the mind. And it means blocking out the noise that you have in front of you every single day. How many people can truly answer this, honestly, can sit at a desk, work without any background noise at all? Meaning mm-hmm. no talk show, no music, nothing. And that became a huge, that was hard for me in the beginning. Because mm-hmm. another thing that psychic mediums do, especially children, and I used to do this all the time, and my husband will clearly say, oh my gosh, that was so you. To block out the noises, they do several things. They either, meaning you always have spirit around or to try and connect with you, and to block that out, they either go to substance abuse, or they always have a radio or a TV playing or something to distract yourself.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was constantly have a TV on, constantly something playing because it was blocking the noise. Mm-hmm. So I pulled away from that and went into deep meditation. And it started with 10 minutes here, 10 minutes blew into 15, 15 blew into, 30 minutes. Now I sit daily about 45 minutes to an hour in meditation wow. to quiet the mind. And when you get really good after a while, you literally can read the body and allow the alignment. I call it being in the power, allowing the alignment for the receipt of information that you're supposed to have. You are all divine beings. You all have a divine spark within you. That's your God knowing in you. The problem is people pray, but they don't listen. Listen comes through meditation. You have to quiet the mind and center yourself. And by doing that and reading, I was able to pull away from not worrying about judgment anymore because I knew the answers were coming in. They were coming in like I couldn't write fast enough. They were coming through. And you might find them in dreams, or you might find them through an inspiration that comes through. There are no accidents. They're all synchronicities that your spirit guide team, everybody has them, has to put in front of you, but you have free will. Free will is a funny little thing. But you also have the choice to say, no, I'm not going to do it. That's mm-hmm. your mm-hmm. choice.
So it was that is really the beauty of it. Yeah.
It was really quieting the mind a lot and listening. And then I had to tear down old belief systems that were really embedded in me. And that judgment came from Catholic Church. You know, I was born and raised very strict Latin Catholic. But thank God my parents were really open-minded, though. I will say that. But didn't take away the fact that I went to a private school all my life. I had to tear down those belief systems, people saying, oh, you're the devil, or, you know, always throwing something at me. You know, it's great when you have my response to those people were, well, okay, well, we can look at, you know, St. Anthony of Padua, and we can look at, you know, Joan of Arc. They burned her, but when later the Catholic Church canonizes her. So it's okay if they have, you know, a clergy behind their name, but when other people are gifted that ability, they're automatically called like the devil or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I had to really overcome stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then belief systems that I call being embedded into you by the matrix. And so whether people call it the system, we call it the matrix, it doesn't matter. You mm-hmm. are in a system. If you are in any form of corporate America, that is a system. You either subscribe mm-hmm. to that belief system and uphold that, or there's something wrong with you. And so I was always trying to buck the system, and that was who I was, and it just didn't align with me anymore. It mm-hmm. really stifled my creativity more than anything. So
yeah,
it was really escaping and tearing down that old belief system. And you know that as well, going through things mm-hmm. that you went through.
Yeah.
A lot of that judgment, if people really pulled back the layers of the artichoke, it comes from belief system.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and that proving that I had to prove to myself and prove to others that I can be something that, you know, came through a title. No,
yeah.
does not come through a title.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it was, I think, money. I've shared with the audience before, I walked away from a role making more money than I ever thought was possible just based on my life situation. I still haven't graduated with a bachelor's degree. I'm still working on that. Mm-hmm. I come from a 2-stoplight town. There's a lot of disbelief around that. And then there's also the sense of, I don't know that it's shame, but it's this, like, who do you think you are to not be happy? How could you not be happy making the amount of money that you're making? Mm-hmm. You can afford the luxuries that you enjoy. You can take your kid to Disney World, you know, a couple times a year mm-hmm. and give him what he needs and support him on your own. Why would you not be happy with that? So
That's
there
right.
was a lot of... Yeah, a belief system around that, having to come to grips with, I'm allowed to not be happy just because I make a particular dollar amount.
Money never brings the happiness. And we live mm-hmm. in a material world. I get that. You can't escape the fact that, you know, we can't just all live in this utopia. You know, we live in this 3D environment. And everybody sees things in a 3D world. And then I step into my world and I see everything from a, you know, fourth and fifth dimensional perspective, that when I look at it now, it just doesn't hold any resonance with me, the prior life. So money never brings the happiness, and you know that.
Uh-huh.
But I can relate to those same feelings of, you know, same thing. My sister and I are the only college graduates, first ones in our family. I'm the only one with a master's degree, came from a very rough neighborhood. And I would say the majority of them didn't make it, you know, some are in prison to this day. So when I look at that, you have to really, and I really firmly believe this, Morgan, that I really feel that I chose to come into that life to experience those things for a reason, because it really has made me a better medium. It's made me more compassionate. When I have clients, it never ceases to amaze me. They either draw in people with similar experiences. Those tend to be the clients that I draw who are overcoming similar experiences, and I can relate to that and pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, it's, you could be a millionaire and be really unhappy. I've seen them, I've coached them. I've coached people in high levels where they have a great title. People know exactly who they are. Miserable. Uh-huh. Absolutely miserable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and you're right, there's kind of like this syndrome that, how dare you? You should be grateful.
Yes.
That I was never ungrateful.
Right. Right. I think those. Absolutely. I do think those things can be true at the same time. Absolutely. I think you can be very grateful and still be unhappy and know that you're not following your path or calling.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ungrateful is a very different frequency than unhappy.
Yes.
It's very, very different. Money never motivated me, to be honest with you. It really never did. I think I was more into what did the title, because of judgment of people. It doesn't bother me anymore. But it's a tough thing, and it's usually always rooted in belief system. I mean,
that's so true.
We live in that world that it's like that. And I think if people, and this is an example, and you'll know where I'm coming from on this. One of the things that I was able to do is, as I mentioned before, I could tap. There's a certain energy around certain people, and I can tell in their auras and their energy if they were genuine, whatever was coming out of their mouth, if they were unhappy, or they were really, truly happy with what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that were truly unhappy and spewed many falsifications, let's just put it that way, I don't think that they see the potential in another realm, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
They could use, because they're not bad people, right? They're not bad people. They're acting on what they think is right. They believe that. They believe it's right. If they were to put that energy behind something that was truly them, wow, how their life would change. You could just see the potential, but you can't say anything. You have to let them figure it out on their own. People have to be able to figure it out on their own.
They do. They do. And that's, I'll never forget a conversation actually early on after I moved from Southwestern Indiana to South Carolina to take a role. It was my first, that's not true. I was going to say it was my first true leadership role, but that's not true. But, you know, moving to a new place onto a new team and very small team, but you could see such a tremendous amount of potential, but they were struggling. They had had a rough go of it. And I'll never forget one of my leaders at the time saying, you cannot want it more for them than they want it for themselves. And I did carry that with me, because to your point, when you see that potential in someone and you genuinely care about them and want good for them, you want to just say, just do this, right? Like, just do this and it will be better, or just don't do that.
Yes.
It'll be better. But you can't. To your point, you've got to let them walk that path and learn on their own. Otherwise, you're just dictating to them, right? And that never goes well. They've got to want it for themselves. And then to your point, they have to take the action to do that, to better that situation or change that situation. And that's really hard as a leader. Or that's really hard, I think, in general, when you're talking about people that you care about. So.
And same, it's the same with kids. You want to make everything right and say, do this and you're going to be okay. But the interesting thing about that perspective is, by doing that, you cannot, I guess the best way to put it is, when you're talking about energy and frequency, like attracts like, right? By doing certain things, you can't lower your vibration and expect good things to keep coming to you by lowering your vibration to meet somebody where they're at. In other words, you can't get sick enough to make someone better. Okay, you can't.
That's good.
And there are always people that, and it doesn't, they'll find it at some point. They will find it. But, you know, God has a plan for everyone. I believe that. And we're steering this thing free will, right? you have the ability to choose the certain paths. And when you're ready, you'll seek out the people that can help you. And that's what I'm there for with the coaching perspective of people. When you're ready, I'm here. I'm here to help you get past those barriers. But I can't force people.
Okay. So as I mentioned in the intro, this episode did go a bit longer than most episodes. And so we're going to stop right here with part one with Coach Susan. And if you will, please, please come back next week to hear part two as we finish out what I found to be this really incredibly fascinating conversation.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode of Courage and the Calling. If you enjoyed the conversation, please make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. And if you feel led, please also share and leave us a review to help other friends find us. For more resources and deeper connection, please visit the website at courageinthecalling.com. If you or someone you know has navigated a big, scary transition and would like to share your journey, please email me at podcast@courageinthecalling.com. Remember, it's never too late to start again.